Hey, everybody. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Mike Gibb. I run AccountsRecovery.net, and I want to welcome you to today's webinar on developing a management training program. I haven't waved yet. Hey. Companies understand that they need to have training programs for new hires and entry-level positions, but many companies fall short when it comes to training employees for the next rungs up the corporate ladder. Management training programs are different, and many agencies feel they might be too small to need a full-on management training program. But that's probably not a proactive way to grow a company. So today in this webinar, which is being sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning, we've got a panel of experts here to discuss the pros and cons of management training program and what an effective program should teach aspiring executives. As I mentioned, this webinar is sponsored by Peak Revenue Learning. Peak Revenue Learning's knowledge source will help you take advantage of the spacing and testing effects. These concepts have proven to be among the most effective methods of learning improvement and knowledge retention. The focused iteration training capabilities of Knowledge Source will have a major impact on employee understanding and application of the skills required to collect more money and the laws and related policies and procedures that staff members must be compliant with. You can learn more by visiting them online at peakrevenuelearning.com. And we're going to hear from Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning a little bit later in our program. Let me introduce you now to our panelists. Kenneth Aldrich has been working in training and quality for some of the largest BPO firms in the world for the last 25 years. He currently leads a remote team of trainers and quality auditors in support of revenue recovery and customer service operations at Harris & Harris in Chicago. When not in the office, Ken enjoys reef diving and looks forward to being able to travel once again once the pandemic is behind us. We have to update that, Ken. We're probably a little bit out of date. Mike DiCarpio has 28 years of management experience working for some of the best agencies in the industry, such as Amcall Systems, RevSolve, and USCB, and BCA Financial, where he says the company is now doing great things. Courtney Helfrich is a graduate of Illinois Wesleyan University with a BA in Risk Management and Financial Services. She completed her MBA in 2020. She holds the PCS, TSP, CI, CCCP, and CCCO designations from ACA International, where she is also a fellow and scholar. She also holds the AIC, AICM, AINS, and AIS designations from the institutes. She teaches and speaks on recovery management topics nationwide and is a sought-out speaker at national conferences held by ACA International. In her role as CPO, Courtney oversees recruiting efforts for open positions to include job postings, relevant assessments, and the interview process. Her areas ensure a smooth onboarding process for team members, having consistency through training, role integration leading to handoff, which will be followed up by continued support with timely and relevant reviews in an effort to see that all team members are set up for success. Courtney collaborates with the CEO for growth of Wilbur leadership, as well as organizational health and culture. Success in this role will be demonstrated by an ability to inspire employees to live up to their potential and optimize their productivity. Our format for today will be the panel discussion you've all come to know and love. This means that questions from those of you watching us live are encouraged, and we'll get to them during the course of our conversation today. To submit your question, drop it right into the chat or send it in through the Q&A tab on your Zoom webinar control panel, which does feature an anonymous button allowing you to submit questions, comments anonymously. All right, let's jump into our conversation. So the first thing I want to ask is, how is a management training program different from a regular training program? And Mike DiCarpio, since I want to make sure you're there, I'm going to ask you to go first.
Fantastic. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Outstanding. So the obvious answer is because you're training different positions. So, you know, in terms of what it looks like, it's going to be based on what you want the results to look like. So as with any other position that you're training, your management training program needs to be created in such a way that it determines the results and it creates the results that you want out of the program.
Yeah, I think being results oriented, especially with a management program, is really important. There's that habit of begin with the end in mind. When you start out with a management training program, you're thinking, I want this type of leader. I want this type of manager in my agency. And as you transition your team members from their regular roles, such as the question said, the regular training program, into the management program, that person you kind of have to like work with them, because someone who's a good team member is not always a good leader. So sometimes as you're going through a management training program, what you'll find, which is similar to a regular training program, is that maybe that person isn't cut out for that type of position. So keeping that in mind is really important, as far as that's one of the similarities. One of the real big differences that we see with leadership and regular training is actually the difference of when you're in a regular training program, such as how to be a collector, you're learning step by step, I need to do this. And in leadership, it really isn't. Every day is not the same. There's something different that you're dealing with every day. And you may see trends as far as on a week-to-week basis, but there's a lot of instances where you're being reactive and not just going through the steps. So that management training program really needs to focus on how in your agency do you want your leaders to lead? Right. People are going to leave their jobs, and we've talked about this in a lot of different contexts of that quiet quitting. And one of them deals with people are going to leave or quiet quit because of a bad boss. And so you have to think of that, which is similar to what Mike said, of what result. You want your management to be the result of retaining your team members. So as you're going through the training, it's not just about doing the job. It's a lot about dealing with people. When you're training a collector, yes, it's talking to people, but it's also dealing with people on your team and having those critical conversations. So I think that's one of the big differences is in leadership, every day is not the same. You're not working through a queue of files. You're not working through call by call. And so that management training really has to give you a broad view of what are you going to be experiencing as a leader, and how can you handle that based on what your agency's culture is. Because it can be really risky. Your managers are having conversations. Sometimes HR needs to be brought in. And so they also have to understand the bigger company risks too.
I agree. I think that the similarities are, it should be results-based, outcome-based. But the big difference is, as Courtney was saying, that quite often people aren't hired into the position from outside the firm. They're often, I mean, it's desirable that they be internally promoted, which means they weren't hired to be a manager. They were hired to be a subject matter expert in their area. They were hired to be a collector. They showed promise at that. They were very good at that. And there is a tendency to, for smaller companies especially, to promote from within. But what makes someone a very good collector is a different set of skills to deal with, you know, peers and former peers as a manager. And I think that regular training programs are very process-based. I'm going to show you how to do this step, and then you can make a decision tree that goes out to here, and it's more or less complicated. Whereas management training is often intended to add an entirely new layer of skill, an entirely new group of skills that are completely unrelated or mostly unrelated to previous competencies. So you're teaching them new things that you didn't hire them for, qualities that they weren't expected to bring to the company originally. You're trying to engender that in them rather than develop something that was already there.
That's such a great point, Ken, that you made. When we talk about the impact that you have as a regular team member and a leader, it's almost in that management training program, you have to really instill in them this 5,000 foot view of the company. They then have to keep that in mind. It's not just my role and what my job is, it's my role, the impact on my team, and then the overall impact that it can have on the company. And I think that's a really important aspect. Some of it is the HR risks, but it also talks about as you're developing your team and kind of having those tough conversations and developing them, that has an impact on the company. So I think that's a really great point as far as the difference between a regular training program for your role and a management training, is that sometimes you're in your department and that's what you learn, where once you're in management and you're in leadership, you really have to take a step back and see every decision that I make, every impact that I'm having, is an impact on the company. So you get a really big broader vision of what's happening at the company. And you have to talk about that. That has to be in the training program, or else they'll be stuck on in this what becomes a silo of this is my unit, this is my impact, and they really start to section themselves off from the company, which can be really risky.
I think that answers the question that was also on the list, Mike, of how is management training different from something like a mentorship program?
Ooh.
It's managers have executive function. They have impact outside of their immediate business area. They may communicate to a wider audience than just their team.
Yeah, I think if I'm going to kind of a piggyback on that, if we're going to jump down to that question, when you're in your department and you're going through your regular training program, you're given a mentor. You're given someone who's going to answer your questions, someone who's going to be your go-to. They may even be the person that you go take a lunch break with. That's your person in your unit who kind of helped develop you. In a management training program, you aren't just given one person. You're actually given a whole team of people. And I don't mean a large agency having a president, a vice president, and down the line. What I mean is that you're given a whole team of others within the company that you're going to have to reach out to. And like I talked about, that 5,000-foot view, management training is different because you are going to be talking and working with so many others within the company. And that really kind of helps to create this team that you are on, this company leadership team that you can reach out to. One of the other really great things about management training, if you have multiple leaders in that particular training, is that it then creates a group. So then when you're having a tough conversation or wondering how to respond to this team member, you have trust in someone else who's also gone through that training process with you. Mentorship creates a one-on-one relationship, where management training really creates a whole team and host of people that you can reach out to, whether they were in your management class and that was your study buddy, or whether it's someone in a different department that you had to reach out to have questions. Management training really creates this real community that you can reach out to as a leader. Whether you're a small agency or a big agency, that team, that unity is created through management training.
Sorry, just giving Mike a chance to chime in if there's anything you wanted to share, Mike.
Well, I don't know that Courtney and Ken left too much meat left on that bone. I think they covered it pretty thoroughly. You know, for me, mentorship is more of a cultural thing. You want someone to mentor someone to, and, you know, to kind of get them ingrained into the culture of the organization, the department. And, you know, leadership training is execution. It's taking action and it's taking that next step, as Ken alluded to earlier.
All right. Excellent. I just want to hit the pause button very briefly on the conversation, which has been great so far. And I know there's a lot more that we're going to discuss. I want to invite Chris Rickman from Peak Revenue Learning, the sponsor of today's webinar, to say a few words. Chris.
Thank you, Mike, and hello, everyone. We're grateful for the opportunity to sponsor today's webinar. Our company provides Knowledge Source, the leading knowledge, skills, and compliance training platform from companies with collection operations. Knowledge Source is used by our clients to simplify and lower the cost of training both new and in existing employees, whether they're on-site or remote. One problem that many organizations share is considering employee development to be an expense rather than an investment. This view can have detrimental effects on employee morale, retention, and motivation. According to a study by IBM, employees who felt that they were not being developed to reach their career goals are 12 times more likely to leave their company, the company that they're currently working for. Most of the folks we speak to recognize the old paradigm of onboarding training followed by annual refresher training is definitely inferior to the model where spaced continuous micro learning promotes much deeper learning. Everyone is also familiar with the rapid loss of knowledge following training events such as onboarding. By utilizing focused micro-learning capabilities as Knowledge Source, your staff members can much more quickly master and then maintain the knowledge and skills necessary for your company to provide high quality compliance services. Knowledge Source clients are companies that want to build and maintain a high level of assurance that their staff members have not only mastered, but are maintaining their mastery of the information, the knowledge and skills necessary expected of them when they're interacting with consumers. Knowledge Source will automatically build documentation for of the training efforts of the company for existing clients, for prospects, and for regulators such as the CFPB. In summary, Knowledge Source will increase revenue, decrease risk, promote accountability, lower the cost of training, and help reduce turnover. To find out more about us, please visit peakrevenuelearning.com or give us a call. I can be reached at 803-521-0031. We are here to help make your job easier and help both you and your company become more successful. Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you, Chris, and thanks to the team at Peak Revenue Learning for sponsoring today's webinar. All right. Circling back to something we were talking about before, where we're talking about sort of management training programs got to be results-based or results-based in order to sort of be most effective. If you've got a bunch of different types of executives, you've got vice president, you've got collections, operations, compliance, how do you sort of develop, does each one get its own training program because each one the results are different? Or is it, when we're talking about results, is it a different type of result that we're sort of referring to?
I would say
to go first, Ken.
I'll go first on this one. There's modularity that training programs should probably be structured for different levels of leader. That you have first-time leaders, people who have been promoted directly out of like an operations or production position. This is the first time they're leading people. That the results there should be, how do you coach? Business ethics, basic business communications, things like that. First level leaders, you know, how to communicate to someone who may have been a peer. How do you overcome that? Basic servant leadership. And then as you go higher up, you might want to focus more on business communications, writing effective emails, effectively leading a team of executives, or managing up, or as you go even higher, strategic leadership. How to evaluate different opinions and come to a consensus and move forward. So I think that it's all results based, but different results at each level.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way that at each level, it's a different result. It's really a different type of impact, because if you have a supervisor compared to someone who's a vice president, their interactions are going to be different with team members and with other leaders, but also the projects that they're working on are going to be different. And so I do think that keeping that result in mind, that training should really kind of cater to what are the types of decisions and what situations is that person going to be in. And it really should gradually progress through. It shouldn't be you're plopped into a vice president role, and in that particular company, maybe you had not gone through and internally been promoted, but were brought from the outside. You're still going to want to learn from the ground up, how does that company lead? Because culture really kind of deals with your management training too. Every company has a different culture. They have a different thread that's going through their agencies, and your leaders need to be united on what that thread is. How are they going to get to the result? And so if one leader is speaking a different lingo than the other, then that's where that unity kind of breaks down and team members are like, I'm not sure they're all on the same page. So I think the results change because you're making different business decisions, but then you still should have trainings that kind of go throughout their roles.
Yeah, and along those lines, obviously, you know, the higher that people elevate themselves, the more exposure that they're going to have. And a great part of training, as we all know, is trial by error. Either training is making mistakes, learning from those mistakes, and then making better decisions as you go. So another important component that nobody's talked on yet is risk mitigation. You want to put people in the position to make decisions, to be able to execute and do things that help your business grow, help their career path grow, but also don't put you or them in a risk situation that could be detrimental for all of you. So putting people in place to make decisions, to take actions, to make mistakes, and then learn from those mistakes collectively, it's all part of the training program. And of course, as Ken was talking about, if the program is set for entry-level position versus, vice president position, the mitigation and the risk factors become greater, but you put those people in position to utilize the skills that they've learned up to this point, but don't put you in a position to where the whole house of cards can come down crumbling around you.
Yeah, Mike, that is really one of the struggles of this management training is, what am I going to focus on first? Because there are risks. And so if you are internally promoting, you move someone from a team member role to a management role, if you promote them and right then they start doing the job, they start making decisions, those decisions have really big risks, especially on the HR side and their interactions. We even talk about it in an interview setting. There's risks there. And so it really turns to also about what's the immediacy of in this training, I have a new leader, a new manager. I want to tell them everything. Well, what do I need to train them on to make sure that we're protecting the agency, they're protecting themselves? So that's really one of the struggles when we kind of look at management training is there are so many risks with each decision that they make. And so how do you get that point across without making them too scared to make a decision at all?
Well, and that's the thing is you just talked to it right there. You said, well, how do you tell them everything? And you're not preparing tellers. This isn't banks. You're not doing tellers. You want to teach people how to teach. You want to, the soft skill aspect of any program is just as equally important as the hard skill pieces of it. Telling people how to run reports and how to analyze reports and do those things. But how do you communicate those things? And teaching people how to teach is an important component of any management training program.
I saw Ken go, was over there
so
agreeing, like teaching is important.
Yeah, it's two parts, being a manager. There are many more parts, but two primary things. And I think that pitfalls of management training programs is focusing too much on one and not enough on the other. That the primary function of a manager is to make their team better, to be a facilitator, to make everybody who reports to them to make their jobs easier, to make it easier to do their jobs well. So that's what you can look at management that way. And I think that a lot of us in various companies that we've worked for, you look at what a manager does and just pie chart out their time. How much of their time do they spend on administrative tasks? And how much do they spend on analyzing how their team works and making that team better? How much time do you spend on each one? How much of your management training should be spent on, here's how you manage payroll. Here's how you deal with disciplinary actions. Here's how you deal with PTO and all the paperwork that goes along with it. And then how much time is spent analyzing what your team is doing and figuring out ways to make them better at it, to coach and develop their reports. So where is your focus going to be in a management program? And I think over-focusing on administrative is a bit of a pitfall. But then again, when you look at what managers do at various levels, quite often most of their work is administrative. So what are you going to do?
I know you were going through that pie chart, Ken. I was like, man, we're having all kinds of different slices here. It really wasn't like 1, 2, 3. There was a whole lot that these managers are handling, from the administrative, but also to the management of their people, the management of the tasks. And I think that focus is really important, a focus back on the people. What are they doing? Are you listening to them? Are you engaging with them? And having someone who was a team member and may now be a leader, that management transition is something you really have to work through with that person, but also with the team.
I think that one of the most important things about any training program is that going into it, there's an expectation set of results. This is what you are going to learn, and this is what is expected of you once you've been through the training. And I think with something as nebulous as management, it can be difficult to clearly define what those expectations are, that you be able to coach and develop a team, that you be able to be an effective communicator. Those things aren't the same as that you collect this amount of money and that you avoid complaints.
Correct. It's definitely not straightforward. It's definitely a lot of different, may it be one-off situations throughout your day as a manager and as a leader. And even going through and talking about how do you communicate, well, then it then turns into, you kind of learn, maybe, hopefully cross your fingers, it's not trial by fire, but hopefully you're learning how to have those appropriate engagements and conversations with your team members, because each of them is an individual. They all have different struggles. They're all learning different ways. They're all going to communicate differently. So then there's also that topic of when you have management training, which is different from rolled your regular training program, it's not as cut dry as this is how you're going to do it in this system. It really turns into, you kind of learn, for example, you talked about the communications. You learn about communications and some best practices, but then you also learn by experiences, by having different conversations, by having someone sit in with you, by you witnessing conversations. And that's kind of one of the differences too. That sometimes management training is a lot of learning behaviors from other managers, having the chance to watch a critical conversation, having to watch a coaching. So sometimes when you're in a regular training program, someone's showing you how to do it and you're doing the task, where in those situations, it's not you doing the task, it's you sitting in on different scenarios that you may face in management, because every day it's not the same and every person is their own individual that you kind of have to address individually. You can't teach that all at once. You can teach general best practices, but experience really kind of plays into that too.
All right. Some questions we've got from the audience. We'll work through those, and I'll use this as an opportunity to remind everybody, if you have a question for our panel, send it to us through the chat or the Q&A tab on your control panel. How are companies in our industry conducting manager training? Are you utilizing outside vendors like Peak Revenue Learning, or creating content internally?
Both.
Correct.
Last management training that we did was, we used an outside vendor for just basic content development, some prepackaged content, and then I delivered it. So we put a Harris & Harris spin on it, and it was done in person, instructor-led training, some of it remote, a lot of it was remote, but it was live and not just, I mean, there we do have some micro-learnings that we do use, but we make use of all of the available avenues that we have.
Like, ooh, that, I was like, when it was talking about, do you use outside vendors? Do you do everything internally? I was like, there is a mix. There's definitely a mix, and there's also a different mix based on your agency, based on resources, time, how quickly do you need this meter up and going. So in our office, we have different tiers of management training. It actually starts as a influencer training, and those are team members who may go into leadership at some point if we have the opening, but they're really the ones that are the go-tos, the ones who are answering people's questions that they're having side by side. So we work on that group first. And that kind of is a leader management training, because it's kind of the ground level foundation. And what we did with that training is we took some materials from the outside, but how we structured it really was more of internally identifying what do they need to know. And then we took those 12 sessions, those same 12 topics, and just put them over different levels and said, as a leader now in 101, the influence, then leader 101, we have those same topics, but we're actually building on it. There's always different materials out there. There's new books coming out constantly. Leaders are readers. And so ours kind of changes as we're going through it because there's different materials and we're building on. So we have a foundation, we have a middle group, and then we also have a more tenured group where we're still going through those same 12 topics, but we're actually building on them and talking more in that third round of up training, really dealing with more of experiences and really getting into what the book content is and how it relates back to ours. So ours is a mix of some internal trainings about how our leadership helps to support our culture. And then we also use some outside trainings too that we go through in these sessions. Our office also gives the opportunity to go outside to other trainings. There's a whole host of external trainings that we send leadership to that they then bring back different ideas and we add them to our curriculum. So our curriculum is constantly changing as we're updating, but we kind of have some general basics that we go through.
Yeah, I would describe my leadership training program as an ironworks program, and I mold it with a hammer until it's where I want it to be. So no, I'm just joking. no. We do have a program and it's a curriculum that we follow. It's not where it needs to be honest with you. I really, part of my intrigue on this is to hear what Courtney and Ken have to offer as well and try to create ours in an appropriate fashion. Because this is something that we struggled with in our industry forever, as with so many other things, but we, and I don't know, Ken, and Courtney, I'll pose a question to you guys. One of the things that's the most important aspect of, to me, a management training program is, having the criteria to select the right candidates to be part of the program and then having external course and then an internal course, because I think the pathways are going to be, dramatically different. One of the struggles that I'm finding and I'm hoping to hear validation from you guys is that pipeline. It just seems thinner than it's ever been for me. And, I don't know what you guys are experiencing.
When you say pipeline, you mean people to choose from to move up to leadership?
Yes. Yes. End of that program.
No. And I can understand that. That portion of it, especially when we talk about the team members that we have coming in. And so one aspect to kind of think of is as leaders, we see potential in our team members that they may not see in themselves. And so we're investing in our leaders, are investing in our team members to help them to see that potential, to help them to professionally grow. And so that's why we have different training courses that we put them through. And we have leaders that nominate people to be in that foundational training where we kind of talk with them about, you're an influencer. You're on a team, and whether you realize it or not, people are modeling your behaviors. And that really helps those 12 sessions really help to change that person's perspective of themselves. And it gives them this renewed self-confidence of like, I am the go-to. And over those 12 sessions from start to the end, these people take a different almost stance with themselves. They have a different confidence about themselves. How they're interacting with their team members really kind of changes. And that course opened up that other opportunity for them to see themselves as maybe a leader. And so that's one way that we have kind of dealt with that of, I don't really have people who I think would be leaders. But you'd be surprised the team members that, given the opportunity and given the training on communications, their eyes light up. They come to class with different ideas. They're talking about different engagements that they had just in passing with team members where they're seeing the impact. So we kind of took the stance of almost developing our leaders, but we did it in a fashion that we know not everyone in that class is going to be leaders or want to be leaders or be passionate about leading a team. But there are going to be those few that are going to have their minds changed about where they think their career can go.
My side, I think that there is a sense that personality traits or their inborn nature, they are either a born leader or they are not, kind of restricts who we consider for these positions, where I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to go about things. I think that leadership is a set of skills. It's practices, and those can be taught. So if you have somebody who has demonstrated that they are a learner, that they are somebody who does engage and does want, has ambition, that wants to move up, wants to be a leader, then the skills can be taught. I think that you can teach anybody who's, you know, got the basic capacity to learn and a willingness to engage with it. So I think that those are the main qualities that we would look for, is they learn quickly, and they have a desire to succeed. And then the rest can be taught.
Okay, let's see, next question. What is the recommended cadence for training to maximize learning but avoid burnout?
Ah, what a great question. Answer is, drum roll, please. Everybody's different. Everyone can, as far as put in, yes.
It depends.
Correct. Everyone is different. It depends. Some people have a where they can kind of focus on it and they want to be learning every single week. Sometimes they're more of like, I want to go month to month. It really deals with what do they need to know to keep the company from making a risky decision. Let's get that out of the way. But then when we talk about leadership development, it's really about what opportunities are they going to take. We've done it a variety of different ways. We've had it where we have it every 2 weeks. We've had it where we've had it once a month as we get a little further. Dealing with that burnout also kind of deals with, are you teaching them good time management? Are you teaching them delegation? So we talk about that really early on. And then just having your finger on the pulse. Some classes are going to be really engaged. They're going to be in a season of the company where maybe you're not taking on new projects, but you're working to develop within your team. And so having more time where you're having training sessions is appropriate. Maybe there's other times where it needs to be short meetings and we're getting together for a shorter time frame, but less frequently. So it really does kind of depend on the learner. It depends on where your company's at. Also depends on what do they need to know to not make it risky. So I kind of talked about what our company does is we have some that are regularly scheduled, but then we also have our finger on the pulse of that leadership group that we have going on. And is it appropriate? Are we kind of seeing their eyes glaze over, or they're really stressed during these training sessions because they want to get back to what they were working on? So like Ken said, it depends.
I think that the cadence for a new manager, somebody who has not led people before, obviously you're basically training a new hire. It's like, we're going to give you the basics. We're going to give it to you very quickly, drink from the fire hose, get up to speed. And then for the company as a whole, maybe every month, maybe every quarter, depends on how much time you want. If you want to do micro learnings, then those can be, you know, self-managed with some oversight. That we have currently, we have a set of trainings that are available to any manager upon request, or upon their director requesting for them. They can be assigned and complete on their own if we feel like there's a need for spot training. And then we have regularly scheduled trainings for all of the people leaders in the company on topics that are selected by our HR director. So a couple of different tracks.
Yeah.
I think more important than the actual cadence of new training is that build in time to follow up. That don't just do the training and leave it. You need to follow up, otherwise it will not stick.
Yeah, and as far as the cadence is concerned, your business needs are always also part of the decision. There is a balance between, you know, personal needs and business needs, but the business needs always win because that's what we do. And so, you know, our business needs are always going to be, a part of that. And, you know, again, you do have to balance out the burnout, because someone who's developing into manager has responsibilities, but they also have people who depend on them. And, you know, the whole thing collapses. And, you know, you've got people that are being let down at the lower level beneath the person that you're, you know, training to be a leader. And if they're in a program that's separate where there are no responsibilities to people, then, you know, perhaps you've got the wrong person and it's not the path for them, and you have to take a different career path for them and help them choose better. But you have to be able to balance out what the business needs are based off of those personal needs. We're all leaders as well. So we can't just leave people out there just to think. And so we have to also be a support for them. You know, Ken mentioned earlier, you know, servant mentality. Well, that should start from the top and work its way down. So we have to serve them, and we have to make sure that we're staying in touch with, you know, with them and what their needs are, where they're failing, where they're struggling, and then teach and coach them through that, which is what we would expect them to do with the people that they're appointed to lead.
Good point.
Shouldn't the organization's standard operation procedures drive the training requirement?
Yes, it should. How many of us all feel that our standard operating procedures are documented as thoroughly as they should be?
Constantly needing updates.
I think that yes, it should, mm-hmm. in the sense that certainly from the administrative side, that if there are certain processes that a manager has to learn, those should obviously be part of the first round of new hire manager training. If they're brought into that position and they have tasks, reports that they must complete, documentation that is required for them to process on a regular basis, then absolutely that should be the portion of it. That should be substantially, they shouldn't really be doing the job until they've completed the training. On the other side, from the more nebulous, just manager training in general, that is kind of dependent on exactly what they're doing. If you have a standard operating procedure for how to deliver a coaching in every instance, then yeah, train that.
Yeah, I think that's a really great point that we kind of haven't really touched on, that in management training, you are training for a role. I think some of our discussions have really gone and talked about some of those things that maybe are documented, how you're going to have that coaching, but there are also those one-off situations that in management, having a training to talk about the challenges, to talk about the experiences that they've had. There are a lot of admin tasks, and you really referenced it too, that big pie we're working through, a lot of it may be admin, and there's other slices that aren't getting our attention. And so if their team members transition into leadership roles, they're learning the admin side, yes, and they should learn the admin side. I think some of what our conversations and feedback has been on this discussion is with those other parts of the management training program that deal with the one-off, your company's culture. How are you teaching someone what you may write out a work instruction for how to coach, but how does that coaching go? That one-off situation, that individualized engagement with that person, that may be really tough to document.
I think in terms of standard operating procedures, it would be lovely if you could, piece out your management training program. The general sections could read a curriculum of basic ethics. You know, the ways you should treat your direct reports, how you should communicate with internal customers and external customers, basic coaching tactics and processes, time management for leaders, prioritization of tasks, and then more advanced topics after that.
Yeah, I think some of the advanced topics I was looking through as far as like thinking what list, do we have going through? And you really touched on a whole lot of what my list has, how to hire, how to communicate, how to delegate, how to motivate, where are you going, what's your work-life balance, HR issues, internal, external client focuses. And those are all really great topics to kind of go through and talk about. And there are so many of them that you start with that foundation. And then, like Ken said, you're going to end up adding to it. There's going to be different experiences. And so that's where we found having different leadership tiers really helps, because we talk about how do you delegate to a new leader. And then we talk to someone who is more tenured, their workload looks a little bit different. And we're talking about delegating at different tasks that we're talking about delegating. So it is one of those, have a foundational topic, but that's also going to be kind of built on with different experiences and what the agency is going through.
Next question. I have found, well, not so much a question, but a comment. I have found, not me first asking a question, that the people I've promoted suddenly become very stubborn and are pushing back against current policies and procedures.
Well, if you think about it, the first thing that you're going to do is you've been internally promoted and they have a foundation of experience with your company. And they probably had policies and procedures that they disagreed with, that they thought were not optimized. And if they suddenly become very stubborn, were they just previously in a position where they thought they had to just not push back on it and not provide their input on it? And now they're in a, now they feel that they are in a position where their voice should have some impact. And I don't think you want to stifle that, but I also think that that first part of that management training is selling that new manager on the idea that your current policies and procedures are the best way that you have found to address these issues, or best way that you've found to accomplish your goals. And maybe they have something to say about it, but you probably want to sell them on, hey, how about you learn how we do these things and why we do these things? And then, yes, you are in a position where we can have these conversations, but you need to know what you're rebelling against before we start having the conversation. You need to learn why we're doing it, why we think it's the best way, before you can have a cogent argument for doing it another way.
Yeah, I agree with Ken that there might be two separate things going on. As a team member, maybe they did feel that they were not being heard. Maybe these were suggestions that never were passed up. And so now that they're in a leadership role and they've been promoted, they're bringing that angst with them. And so that may be something to follow up and see, are suggestions being passed up? What happens when someone makes a suggestion? It kind of also on the second part of that broader view of on a team member side, we're told this is what the policy is. And on a leadership side, you have to understand why that is the policy. You have to step back and have a bigger view of the agency that you're working for and really gain an understanding of what that why is and be able to explain it. And so there is some facets of improving the work while doing the work is the work. But if it's not an improvement and they're pushing back against your policies and procedures, are they bringing kind of feeling from a team member where they weren't being heard, but also do they understand with why? That's one of Simon Sinek's books, start with why. Do they have that understanding of where that policy actually came from? And can they articulate that back to the team?
Yeah. And then again, one of the most valuable reasons to promote someone from the internal groups, the internal teams, is that they bring that recent on the ground experience. So it doesn't hurt to listen.
I don't have enough information to offer any opinion on the context.
Okay. Another question. I totally agree with leaders are readers. I personally read a lot of leadership books on my own time. When you are having employees read certain books, do you pay them for this? Curious how that works in your organizations.
I'll go. So we hand out the materials, but we provide the training on the content. So if they would like to read the book, that's fine. They're not required. I'm not checkboxing saying you have to pass this quiz. It's really more of like, I want them to have the takeaways from this book and provide the materials for them. So It's kind of like we give a highlight reel going through the book of the ones that we talk about in our classes, but they're not required. I'm not giving them a quiz. I would hope that they're motivated to read it, but if they're not, it's not like I'm as far as like having a ding or like check mark, they didn't read it. When we think about other facets of leadership, there's the seven habits, and the seven habits talks about sharpen the saw. So your leader should generally have a want to be learning more, to be professionally developing, which also deals with reading books. So you would hope that they have that motivation, but we don't require them to read it. If they want to read the material, they can on their own.
Yeah, it's the same thing for us as well. You know, I think we all probably subscribe to the same thing. You know, as we've gone through our evolution and development, you know, there's certain books that we've fallen back to that say, you know, these are the things that we're trusting. You know, whenever I'm struggling with something, you know, I always fall back to a specific set of books. And as we're teaching people how to be leaders, you know, we see the mistakes that they're making where they're struggling, and we reference those same materials that we've used in our development as well. And what's interesting is, as Courtney said, none of it's required reading. It's, hey, listen, this will help you. You know, please feel free, and you hand them a copy, and then and then when they're done, balancing their table or whatever they use it for, you get it back and give it to somebody else. But what's really interesting is if we're doing our job the right way and selecting the right candidates, then they're actually sharing their books with us and telling us about the things that they've discovered. And then you're on the right path. I've got a couple of people that work with me today that they're constantly going out and reading new materials, and they're trying to self-develop. And it's fascinating to talk with them, because then they're sharing books from a different generation than mine. And it's really exciting to see the world from younger eyes, because then it reminds me of 30 years ago when I was young.
Those are both really great perspectives. I have a very transactional perspective on it. When you are having employees read certain books, do you pay them for this? Our managers and all people with direct reports are exempt employees, so technically, yes. they are being paid for whatever we have to do. We don't generally track time, but my last leadership training was on a Saturday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Not normally time. It's when people are available to do it, and how invested they are in their own professional development. We ask for a lot. I think that we reward a lot, but that's how we handle it in our organization. Exempt employees are given tasks and they complete them as they are able.
If they don't read the book, are you check marking them? Are you double checking it?
It generally becomes pretty obvious if they have not reviewed the material, but we also try not to say, again, it's outcomes based. If they can answer my questions, if they can participate fully and effectively in the training, then I am not going to give them a quiz to see if they know the chapter titles, et cetera.
One really interesting, not trick, but I had a leader who I was talking with them about a situation I was working through, and they were like, hey, let me give you this book. So they gave me the book. And so I got like halfway through it, and then ended up picking up something else. And that leader came back, was like, hey, did that book help you? And I was like, yeah, I definitely think it definitely helped me get through that situation. And he was like, oh, because you never came and saw me and thanked me for the $50. I was like, what? And he had slid money in the back of the book. He had slid it in the back there. And I hadn't gotten that far through. And so I told him, I didn't say I read the whole book. I said I got what I needed out of the context that I sent. But it's that facet of sliding notes. So if you're ever interested in someone's reading the books that you're passing, slide something in the back just to see. I know, right?
Yeah. Now I'm going to start flipping through the book, just making
sure. Yeah, or like notes. I've like written little notes, like come and see me about this when you get here. So just adding some fun to the engagement when we're talking about passing along books to others that we have found to be impactful in our career. Some fun side to it.
There are football teams that do that with playbooks for players who are looking to draft. They put money at the end to see if the players actually review the whole playbook before handing it back. So, all right, we're almost out of time, unfortunately. This has been a great conversation. Loved hearing from the three of you, but we have to wrap things up, unfortunately. But before we do, did want to go around the panel and give each of you a chance to share what you think the most important takeaway is from today's conversation. If you want people to walk away with one thing, what do you want that one thing to be? Courtney, we'll start with you, then Ken, then Mike, you'll get the last word today.
Yes, no matter the size of your agency, there is a leader. You may have multiple leaders. And so make sure you have a training program and know it's going to change, that it's going to be an evolving curriculum of what do they need to know. So don't be disheartened at the beginning when you're creating your management program that you may not feel it has enough. No, it's going to evolve and it's going to change, and you're going to constantly be adding to it.
I would say great managers are not born, they are made. And if you want a certain type of management style in your company, the management training program is one of the best ways to get that company-wide and create some consistency.
And as with any position that you have in your organization, how you develop the materials to prepare them for the success that you want them to have, it needs to go into the materials that you create into a program.
Excellent. Well, Courtney, Mike, Ken, I want to thank each of you for taking time out of your schedules to share your thoughts and perspectives on management training today. A fascinating discussion. We've had a lot of information and a lot of useful ideas. So thanks to each of you. Chris, I want to thank you and the team at Peak Revenue Learning one last time for sponsoring today's webinar. PeakRevenueLearning.com is the website. 803-521-0031 is Chris's number if you call if you have any questions. Finally, I want to thank everybody who watched and listened today. Great questions as always. Appreciate that. Love seeing everybody here. We're back tomorrow, 1 o'clock Eastern. What's tomorrow? Tomorrow is Tuesday, and tomorrow's webinar is Ask a Credit Reporting Expert. We have our monthly series answering. We have two experts coming to answer credit reporting questions. So if you haven't signed up for that yet, you can find the link on the events calendar at accountsrecovery.net. Hope to see you back tomorrow for at 1 o'clock Eastern for that. Until then, everyone, enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you very much for being here, and we look forward to seeing everybody soon. Thanks, guys.